You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built. And Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
Buddy. Excellent. Do you like water slides, Kev?
Water slides. I don't know where this is going, but as a kid growing up in the Okanagan, water slides were a big part of my summers. It's been a while, but yeah, they were enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. No, I just spent like 6.5 hours at the water park in Edmonton yesterday for my son's birthday, and I have to say it's quite the I love it. The Cyclone. Have you ever been to West Ed Water Park, have you?
I haven't been in the water park, but I was here during the playoff run last year. My daughter was played in the volleyball national championships, and they were there, and so we took the kids there. So we didn't do the water park, but I was very intrigued by the wave pool and seeing people surf in it. That appealed to me as a guy who only gets Tofino in the summer and usually Hawaii once a year to surf. I was like, indoor surfing would work for me. We need one of those here.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I like it. Let's start with some of the goalies the Oilers are playing. We'll go with Lindgren in tonight. He was off to a good start. His last four appearances, though, if you just look at save percentage, not good, at .862. Now, it's a very small sample size. It's only four games. But, you know, you look at Washington, Kemper now, to me it looked like probably a concussion based on getting elbowed in the head to finish that game. So Lindgren's going to get an opportunity here, at least for the time being, to start some games in a row. How has he looked after a hot start?
Yeah, you know, I think he's just, like, if you look at who he's played this year, like, he has not had your typical backup workload, like Toronto, Jersey, Vegas, Edmonton already once, Tampa, St. Louis when they were on that seven-game heater, Jersey again. Like, he has got some tough starts and some tough spots behind a team that struggled with injuries with the Washington Capitals. And so when I look through the adjusted stuff, you know, it's not great either. But sort of talking to him and talking to the goalie coach a little bit just the other day, obviously Washington coming through here, like it's coming for him. And so as much as you never want to see a goalie go down the way Darcy did, and I'm with you in terms of what it looked like and what it probably is, this is an opportunity for Charlie to build a little momentum. I think they feel like his game is there, had a good ice time yesterday, and that this is a chance to sort of just start rolling. Obviously, the Oilers are a tough opponent to start that against. But when I look at his adjusted stuff, where he's getting killed the most is actually breakaways. Like, the reason he's in the negative numbers is almost exclusively on breakaways. Eight chances this year, six have gone in. And then when I sort for it, no wonder. Like, the breakaways are Marner, Nylander, Shea Theodore, Connor McDavid, Jack Hughes a couple of times. Like, these are not just, you know, these aren't breakaways. These are breakaways against the best. When I look at the rest of his numbers, you know, outside of sort of, you know, like, he's really good east to west. He's really good at keeping his skates underneath him and moving laterally. And so I think it's probably tempting if you're an Oilers fan to just look at those raw numbers and think, oh, this is an easy night for the Edmonton Oilers. And certainly the Caps are beat up. But I don't think it'll be an easy night just because Charlie Lindgren's in net. I was big on this signing. I like the progression in his game over the last couple of years, talking to him about some of the changes he made in his game since he left Montreal. And I think he feels good about sort of building on that despite some of the results earlier this year. I don't think it's so much that his game's off, it's just some of the opportunities have been really tough.
Yeah, well, if he gives up breakaways tonight against McDavid and those guys, then he'll probably be in for a long evening for sure.
Yes.
Spencer Knight. Now, there's lots of – I saw, you know, there's been lots of talk about Matt Murray and the goaltending thing, Kev, and I know you're in the union, but Spencer Knight, I saw one of his. Like, there does seem to – like, I'm sorry, but, like, and I like Mike McKenna. We have him on the show, but I strongly disagree with him because he's like, well, every time it's never the goalie's fault. To me, it's starting to become an issue, and the Spencer Knight one was kind of ridiculous.
So I'll tell you what's ridiculous. And Spencer said the same thing. He couldn't believe there was any that anyone actually thought that was on purpose. He had no idea. He was totally oblivious to the noise that surrounded that one. He couldn't believe the net came off. It was a standard move. Bump into the post. Now, it was quick because he popped into a reverse and then exploded off the post. And so you're kind of, your weight's going into the post. And because it was a quick pop pass back up to the middle, he had to get off it quickly. So you're kind of going in and off at the same time. But Jason, like, that's a move that he makes probably with a little more control. You know, again, just in terms of it was a dynamic play, so it was bang, bang. But that's a move and a push he makes 30 or 40 times a game, and the net stays on. And so, and I don't know what happened to that net. I actually rewound it because I saw the noise around it, and I actually happened to have just tuned into the game. So I rewound the whole period to see if it had come off before, and it hadn't, because that was my expectation. Like, usually what happens, it comes off at some point, it doesn't get replaced properly. But as the referee was talking to Spencer Knight about that particular instance, I kid you not, the TV's focused on their conversation, and the other official comes right in behind him, and in the background of the shot, puts the net on, puts the net back on improperly. Doesn't check the peg depth. Like, and this is a big part of the problem. And so the McDavid breakaway that he scores on Spencer Knight, you know, what, a couple minutes later, Knight's left heel clips the post as he tries to go lateral on the McDavid move. And the post rocks up like 2 inches, and I saw people, you know, on social, like, I tried to knock it off again. No, like, these are goalie movements. And so, you know, talking to Spencer the next day when they, or 2 days later when they came through town here, just completely unaware, because in his mind, that was just, there was no intention in his mind. And this is just an honest off the record conversation. He was totally unaware of the noise around it. And to him, hearing about it, it was like as absurd as some of the people seem so confident in their suggestions it was on purpose. That's how absurd he thinks the notion that it could be is. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't issues. Go ahead.
Yeah. So has there been conversations amongst the goalies and the NHL to say, okay, let's get it so we ensure that the officials, they know how to put the nets on properly. The ice crew people at intermission know how to put the nets on properly. Because if we just say, well, the nets aren't on properly all the time, like, to me, that's like, this seems like a pretty easy solution to fix.
We are using 31-year-old technology on the nets. That's how long Marsh Pegs have been around. And I give Edmonton credit because at least the rink crew has a shop back to suck out the water, because what happens is water and ice gets underneath the pegs and they start to float up. So at least in Edmonton, the crew has an ice vac or an shop vac, a wet dry vac that they suck it clean with. In other places, they're using freaking turkey basters. We're a $5 billion league and we're using turkey basters and 31-year-old net technology. Listen, everyone bitches about sharp angle goals that go in between the, you know, between the goalie's mask or sometimes off the goalie's mask and in. A lot of that is because guys aren't pushing up into that post properly. And there is a new generation of goaltenders that is being taught to use that inside leg when they go into reverse VH to drive that coverage up to the crossbar. And I don't think the nets are on securely enough. Now, we still got to watch out for player safety here. I am not saying that, you know, just anchor those things in. But the problem is when these pegs start to float up. And so I do think the Marsh pegs are rubber. They will come off with contact, whether they're sitting properly or not. They just come off easily when they're not sitting properly. I think the answer, with some research to make sure it's still safe, is to secure the Marsh peg at the bottom of the hole somehow so that the referees, because what they do is they just pull the net on over the hole and they assume the Marsh peg falls. You need to take the Marsh peg out, sink it to the bottom, and then put the net on top of it. And if you don't do that every time, you run into the instances, which is, I believe, what happened to Matt Murray in at least one of the cases. It happened to Thatcher Demko last year, where he actually took a penalty that changed the momentum of the game, again, on a movement that he does 60 or 70 times a game. And then the people, the talking heads that don't understand goaltending, and, hey, listen, I get it. Nobody watches the goalie. They're watching the puck. They don't recognize, like, literally people are saying, oh, like, that was on purpose. No, that's a move that they make all game long without the net coming off, and now it came off. And so the goalies are frustrated. Listen, you need to develop a standard so the goalies can trust it. So in other words, if you're going to call penalties on them, and I'm not against that, but they have to know how much they can push into that net before it comes off, and it has to be consistent from rink to rink and period to period. I have a goalie, and I'm not going to name his name because he hasn't given me permission to sort of share which rink it was and what happened. He went into the third period of a game this year with his team up one, got into his net, did his crease movement patterns to start the period. could tell that the net had not been anchored properly because it was popping up, and thought, I don't want to take a penalty here, knocked on the glass and asked the rink guy to if he could double check that the peg was at the bottom of the hole, and the rink guy started yelling at him that it was his fault because he pushed into his post too hard. This is how they're being taught. So we need to develop a standard. And hey, listen, again, develop that standard, and then if they still knock it off, at least they know, and then you can say to the goalie, sorry, man, you pushed too hard. I know you're using the net to push off, but you pushed too hard. Right now, there's just way too much inconsistency. To give you an idea how absurd it is, Jason, the only equivalent that I can find, and I've talked to a bunch of goalies and we've tried to come up with this, would be to penalize a player for his stick breaking in the act of shooting. The equipment fails him. He leans too hard on it. He didn't know it was compromised. That's what's happening to the goalies in the post. Now, listen, Matt Murray's a bit different. There are some things he's doing in his post. I still don't think it's on purpose, but he's trying to change some things in his post play, and he's missing his spot, and he's ending up deep in his net, and he's pushing off the wrong spot, and that's going to end up penalized if he doesn't fix that. There's also an equipment issue in terms of how he secures the post with the bottom of his skate that he needs to change. So that's a little bit of a slippery slope there, and that's one where I have no problem. He needs to make some changes himself. But around the league, the night one was absurd, and I heard the noise out of Edmonton, and I apologize for calling out all the reporters that made that noise, but absurd to suggest that was on purpose.
Now, you say that the goalies are taught this and the nets aren't secured. So are the nets secured better in the American League and junior where they're using this all the time and they're not coming off?
Oh, the nets are coming off at both levels, like junior A and junior B, so they can't execute properly. And so, I just saw one the other day in junior A here, and this is a league that's scouted by the National Hockey League, a league that's scouted by the NCAA and gets kids are getting scholarship. And the net comes off on a push, and it's a tap-in. And this is the problem for goalies. They're taught. Like, that's the other part. Like,
but why are they – here's my counter. Why are they teaching them to push off the net?
Because
don't push off the net. Why can't you just push off without using the – why do you have to use the net? Seems like it's cheating, does it not?
Because it's – 'twas ever thus. I guess every GM that says that can live with bad angle goals going left, right, and center. Because if you can't secure your skate, if your skate is against the post, and you're leaning into that post to stop that short side, you don't have the edge of your skate. Your skate is up against the post. So yes, goalies have pushed off the net forever. The difference is they're pushing coverage up higher into the net on these sharp angle shots. That's something that maybe we have to have a conversation adjust. Goalies have also never been bigger or stronger or more powerful. This is the other part of he did it on purpose. He needs that net to stay on for him to get power in his push. If it comes off, he doesn't go where he wants to go. On that backdoor chance, the first Matt Murray one, he got himself in an awkward spot. He pushed. Now, he pushed off the back of the net because his skate had gone inside again because he's missing in his technique. But all that the net coming off does is rob him of any chance of pushing across. If Addison deposits that into the empty net on the backdoor chance, if he doesn't whiff on that backdoor chance, even though the net's off on the short side, they're counting that goal. All the net coming off for Matt Murray has done in that situation is given him no chance to get across. And I'll give you one more example. When the playoff bubble was in Edmonton, the NHL did not secure the nets properly, did not use marsh pegs at the practice rink. And I know a number one goalie who didn't make it through the playoff bubble because he sustained a lower body injury pushing off the poorly secured practice rink pegs and getting hurt that way. So I'm with you. The idea that it's on purpose is absurd. But I'm with you in that the conversation needs to happen about this is how goalies are using the net. Do we need to look at how we secure it? Because when you say that, they shouldn't be able to push off the net, the reality is when the pegs are secured properly, it's fine. I got video of Demko practicing and that thing pops up an inch and a half, 2 inches every time he hits it. And there's a power that he goes into it with that just causes that. But it sinks back in and secures itself every single time. It's not till it gets compromised that these things change. And so if you develop a standard that's the same from rink to rink and it still comes off, now you can start having the conversation about you guys need to change the way you play. If you're going to push this hard into it and it comes off, that's on you. But without that standard, I don't think you can do it.
Because, yeah, the pushing into it's always been there. It's the pushing in and up motion that that has changed. And I agree with you that some of them are...
Well, the difference is goalies used to be on their skates, right? So so that's the difference. When they would hug the post with their standing up, like old school of Jenny Nabokov, their skate was in contact with the ice. They had an edge on the ice. Once they lean into the post the way they're taught now, they no longer have an edge to push off. So you're right. They do push off the post more than they did before. Mm-hmm. And I guess... You know, this technique was developed and posts weren't coming off, so that was fine. Now they are coming off. Goalies are bigger, stronger. So I don't know that you can put the genie back in the bottle or the horse back in the barn in terms of don't use this technique. You would basically be forcing them to stand up instead or just not push as hard. And so
let's stand them up, Kev. Let's stand them up all day long, baby. Maybe we can get a few more two-pad stats.
Well, hey, speaking of standing them up, Marc-Andre Fleury's coming into town for you this week, and if he plays, watch. Every once in a while, he's the one guy left, him and Craig Anderson, that on dead angle shots, we always hear just stand up every time somebody goes reverse VH. He will perform the old of Jenny Nabokov, two pads like straight up against the post. So and there are goalie coaches around the league. I actually had one ask me for video of Fleury doing it. Because they're starting to look for other solutions. Every time somebody banks one in off somebody's head from a dead angle, goalie coaches are starting to have the conversation about maybe we do need to look at other ways to tackle this every once in a while. I don't think the reverse VH is going anywhere. As one told me, it is the most important progression of the position in the last decade. It's the first position we've ever had that allows us to connect our movements in and out of our posts, and that's so important with so much work and attacks coming from down around the goal line and below the goal line. I don't think it's going away. But the overuse and some of the poor application of it, guys are looking for different answers all around the league.
Well, if I see a few more goalies stand up, because there's nothing more infuriating to see a goalie from a sharp angle, I'm like, why is he going down here? So I think maybe a hybrid on that one position, because I think shooters have figured it out. They're all going high, short side from the sharp angles because most of the goalies go down. Even big goalies. We see big goalies 6'4", 6'5", and suddenly you've got 8 inches on the top of the net. You're like, why? So I do wonder.
Two parts. Proper execution, which involves using that inside edge to drive that shoulder up, which is causing some of this net issues. Proper execution solves that. And I still see too many goalies that use reverse EH, overuse it, and frankly don't have full and proper execution of it. I think on the dead angles, when there's no passing threat, Jason, I'm with you. Mix it up, throw some different looks. That's what we see Craig Anderson do. That's what we see Marc-Andre Fleury do. But the reason guys use it most often is when there are passing options. The one thing hugging the post does is it takes you out. If there's a play in the middle or into the middle, and I'm standing up on my skates, I can't get sealed and across to take it away in time. When I'm in the reverse VH, everybody focuses on the sharp angle. And I had this conversation with Luongo the other day because it was such a big part of the progression of his career adding this. It puts, as he would say, everybody focuses on the one or two off the sharp angle. What they don't realize is I make 15 saves a night that I couldn't make before I added this technique. It puts our bodies in the net. It allows us to move out of that position with a seal, with coverage on all this stuff that is, for all the ones that get thrown short side and in, there are 10 that get thrown into the crease from the sharp angle that go off bodies and would end up going in if they weren't using this technique. And that's an important thing to remember. It's everybody sees the one that goes in and it looks terrible, but it's the 10 the technique saves that goalies struggled with for decades is why you continue to see the position being used as often as it is now.
Kev, good stuff, buddy. Have yourself an awesome week. We'll chat with you next Monday.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jason. Talk to you next week.